Again, it is good to see everyone out this morning. Good to have several back that have not been able to be with us due to illness. We are thankful that you're well enough to be able to join us. Do have several that we do need to continue to pray for. As I mentioned to some this morning, one thing I just want to let everybody know, I still have my wife. She's still around. She's just, it's every 3 days. We're getting, it started off last week with Emily's, and 3 days later it was Corrigan, and Ophelia decided to finally have her turn with the stomach flu last night. So she is at home with her. So do remember her and as well in your thoughts and prayers. And speaking of prayers, we are continuing in our series of lessons this month, looking at the subject of prayer. And Brother Charles read for us this morning from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 down to verse 47, where we read on the day of Pentecost that those who were saved, those that had followed and believed and were baptized for the remission of their sins, those were saved, where they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And that's what we've been talking about this month, is about prayer. And we want to continue that thought this morning, looking at prayer and worship this morning. We see here, by example, that the apostles continued in this, in teaching those to continue in such things. You know, Jesus gave Peter and the apostles the keys to the kingdom, to be able to open up the doors to the kingdom, to be able to teach those things that are necessary, those things that would be beneficial. And here's one of those instances where we see by example the need for prayer. Because prayer can be used in many different facets of life. We look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 as our theme for this month, where it says to pray without ceasing. To continue in prayer. It's needed in our life. It is an important thing. You know, we look at many references in both the Old and New Testament about prayer. It can be used both inside and outside the physical building that we worship in here. There may be questions when we think about the subject of prayer. What about when we do it in a public setting? There's some people that might frown at that idea when you're outside these walls of, you know, going to pray, having a word of prayer when you go out to eat or whatever it may be. Some people may ask the question, is it okay to do it? Are we not supposed to be private in our prayers? When can we pray? And we want to talk about some of this morning. And talking some, a little bit more specifically, about prayer and our worship. Because as we think about this morning, prayer is indeed an act of worship. We go over to John chapter 4. If you go there to John chapter 4, and let's look at verse 24. John chapter 4 and verse 24. John chapter 4 and verse 24. When we talk about our worship to God, and specifically talking about prayer, it is an act of worship, and we see the seriousness, we see the mindset that we're supposed to have in this matter. John chapter 4 and verse 24, where it says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. When we talk about the Godhead, we can point out that God, the Godhead of we see the Spirit of God mentioned on numerous occasions. And when we come to worship, when we come this morning to worship God in our different avenues of how we've conducted ourselves so far this morning, we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That it does indeed matter how we worship God. Meaning our heart needs to be in the right place. Our prayer becomes worship when we engage, spiritually speaking, on this matter. When the heart is in the right place. Brother Matt led us in a word of prayer this morning to help get our minds focused, to get our minds prepared, to offer blessings to God. We talk about what Brother Don and Brother Ross did this morning at the Lord's table, how they helped prepare our hearts and our minds for partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning. We have our heart in the right place. We come together to worship God's Spirit, desiring to do God's will. It's even when we gather together in these opportunities that we have been allotted. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 24 and verse 25. Consider those verses with me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 25, where it says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Now, I know we look at those verses sometimes when we talk about attendance and everything, but I want to kind of look at it in a different aspect. In both of these verses, it points out the need to stir up love, to exhort one another, to encourage one another. When we come together on this Lord's Day, when we come together tonight, when we come together on Wednesday night, we have those different opportunities. We come together to stir up love and good works in one another. And doing that, we can use prayer as part of that exhorting process, as part of that stirring up love and good works in one another, to be able to recharge our batteries, to help have that good example to go into the world and to be able to offer prayer in many ways. The disciples, as we think about this morning, as we read in our text from Acts chapter 2, that the disciples were to continue in the apostles' doctrine. Jesus gave Peter, gave the apostles the keys to the kingdom. And again, we look, for instance, in the breaking of bread and in prayers there in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Part of that apostles' doctrine they were to continue in. Now again, I know some people, I've had discussion, you probably may have had a discussion or two before, where someone might ask the question, well, are we supposed to be praying? You know, some people believe that you're supposed to only pray in a private setting. But look, as we look there in Acts 2, verse 42, we see that indeed the apostles, they came together with fellow disciples in public prayer. So should I be engaged? Should I engage myself in public prayer with my brethren? And the answer is absolutely. To think otherwise, I mean, to have this other idea that we're not supposed to engage in prayer, well, how do we know to meet the needs of others that might be needing some sort of prayer? They might just need that word of encouragement we just mentioned a moment ago. How much benefit that can be for an individual. Sometimes when we get a little bit more specific with our prayers, mentioning some people that might need a little bit extra boost, that might need that extra word of prayer, where we might be able to say something more specifically, more directly towards them. It does go a long way. Should I engage in my public prayer, my brother? Absolutely. And when? So the question is, when would it be a concern? There is some concerning points with it. When it becomes a concern is when we seek the glory from man rather than giving glory to God. Look with me, if you would, over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Notice with me here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. You know, we talked last week about the model prayer, but we kind of excluded these verses because it went along with our lesson this week. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, Jesus gives a warning. And he says here, Matthew 6 and verse 5, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, they say, or I say to you, they have their reward." You know, as we think about this morning, some people want to pray, and they want to do it where they're seen by others. I'm going to make a note. People will make a special note of wanting to try to be religious. You know, when we go, for instance, when I go to the restaurant or something like that, to go out to eat with the kids, I never try to go about and try to get everybody's attention when I'm praying. I'm not sitting there waving my hands around like some people might think I might be doing. Say, hey, look over here. I'm getting ready to pray, everybody. No, when we go to God in prayer, and when we're in a public setting, we do it in a matter of just trying to offer glory back to God, thanks back to God. Some people have come over and have made comments to me when I do that. Well, they say, well, I noticed you did that. Right before you ate, you had a word of prayer. You know, it's nice, you know, people say, well, it's nice to see you. But I wasn't doing it to get public notoriety. I'm just doing it because that's just part of our way of giving thanks back to God. But in Jesus' time, the Pharisees were notorious for wanting to try to make a public spectacle of everything, of the look at me type of mentality. For instance, with their prayers, we could talk about how they were fasting as well, kind of emaciating themselves to the point where look at those people, they're really religious. These people, they want to go out and they want to pray. And they, look at me. You know, we were talking last week about that Pharisee praying. Thank God I'm not like that tax collector over there. Trying to make a public spectacle of it. Trying to get people to look instead of what the true aspect of what prayer is about. Look at what in verse 7 of this same chapter. We also have some warning, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. When would it be a concern when I'm getting, sometimes people want to just try to use repetitions on some occasions. Think that, I got to be able to say a whole bunch of words in order for my prayer to be heard. I got to use, I got to say that 15, 20 minute, 30 minute long prayer. We were talking last week about that tax collector. Kind of revisiting that lesson. What did the tax collector say? Be merciful to me, a sinner. How long did that take? 2-3 seconds maybe. Some people think, in order for my prayer to be heard, I got to be able to say that. And sometimes just continue on in offering these vain repetitions. You see it in religious practices today, where others will do that. There's no meaning behind it. They're just kind of muttering out the words at times. Prayer, as we think about this morning, is indeed an act of worship, and we see examples of prayer being used. Jesus, when he was with his disciples, he prayed. I'm going to read those verses. Brother Don read from Matthew 26 this morning. Let's just go ahead back over there again to Matthew chapter 26. And look at verse 26 and verse 27 with me. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26 and verse 27. Matthew 26, verse 26 and verse 27. And it says here, and they were eating. And Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Verse 20 says, for this is the covenant, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins. Jesus, when he was with his disciples, he prayed. We look and say, well, yes, he was instituting the Lord's Supper in this manner. And he took his disciples and he took the emblems that represent by his body, by his blood, and prayed over those things. The apostles prayed with those on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 42, continuing in the apostles' doctrine, both in breaking of bread and in prayers. Prayer is needed in our worship. I'm not going to say how many times we're supposed to pray in our worship services, but what I do know is that we need to have that mindset of praying without ceasing. We're to worship God in spirit and in truth, and therefore the inner man needs to be in our heart needs to be in the right place, and prayer helps get our heart in the right place. God does hear those things that we ask when we come to Him in prayer. Look at me, we're to open 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. God does hear those things that we ask Him. And sometimes, as we have talked, we talked about it a little bit a few weeks ago, but sometimes the answer may be a yes. Sometimes the answer might be a no. God does still hear our prayers. We have the confidence, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we engage in our worship, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So another question we might ask ourselves is, when do we pray in our worship? Again, I want to point out we do have a couple of examples involved with prayer. Again, we read just a moment ago from Acts 26, verse 26, verse 27. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, by His example that He showed us, He took the bread, He took the cup, He blessed it, He gave thanks, and He offered it to His disciples. On the Lord's Day, we come together on the first day of the week to come together to be able to worship God. And on the first day of the week, we have some of these necessary examples of the things that we are to participate in as Christians together. Well, we partake of the Lord's Supper. We'll say a few words to help prepare our minds, read a few scriptures to help prepare our minds. Then we go to God in prayer before we offer prayer for the bread. Before we partake of it, we offer prayer. Before we take of the fruit of the vine, we have a word of prayer. You know, Jesus said there, it's recorded for us here, that He blessed it, or He gave a blessing. How do we go to God in prayer and ask for blessings or to give a blessing? Well, we use prayer. Then as we look at the Lord's Supper, or at the fruit of the vine, He gave thanks. Again, how we know and kind of understand what it means. Both times prayer was being used. Part of the Lord thought it was necessary. We need to consider it. We need to follow it. We need to obey it. We need to practice it. The continuing of the apostles' doctrine. Again, I want to draw your attention there to Acts 2, verse 42 down to verse 47. They broke bread. They prayed. You know, we talk about it as well. Later on in verse 46 and verse 47, where it talks more on the lines of having their food. Talking about the common meal. Having their food, they ate their food with gladness, and they praised God. They prayed. It is safe to be able to kind of conclude that they indeed prayed. You know, I am just using these two as examples looking at the Scripture, but does that mean we need to just stop? Does that mean we need to stop there? Hey, oh boy, I'm looking at that and somehow the Word has changed the there to there. I'm sorry about that. It's bothering me this right now. We'll get right there up there and point out, does this mean that we need to stop there? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, again, we're to pray without ceasing. When we pray during worship, you know, some people say, well, does it mean just an opening and a closing prayer? No. We don't have to just stop there. We want to add some more prayer. What is wrong with maybe having a couple other opportunities to say prayer? I'm not saying we have to necessarily add it, but we can be able to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Whenever we have that desire, whenever we see a need, and we maybe need to offer a word of prayer, we just need to let it be done. Again, it's part of our acts of worship together. There's not just these things, you know, some people, some congregations, it varies. I know here, we offer prayer before we take up a collection, don't we? Another opportunity to be able to thank God for what He has blessed us with and to be able to use His funds to be able to help His kingdom. There are many different avenues. There are many different facets that we can be able to use prayer for. It's unlimited. We do that because, again, we have that mindset of praying without ceasing. We look at prayer. We talk about prayer and worship, but we can see that it is a sign of many different things. And let's just briefly talk about those. First of all, it is a sign of humility. Over in James chapter 4 and verse 10. James chapter 4 and verse 10. When we go to God in prayer, we ask for things and we show a sense of humility where we need His help. And in James 4 and verse 10, we read here, to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. If we show that, if we humble ourselves before God, in return He will lift us up. He will help us. Again, kind of going along that same thought. Talk about dependency. That we do need prayer, then, because we do need God in our life. In the book of Psalms, go back to the Old Testament with me just for a moment. In Psalm 20 and verse 7. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Psalm 20 and verse 7. We read here, some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Many will place their trust in several things, and sometimes more physical than anything else. But our trust, our confidence, needs to be in God. You go back to James, and in James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 7. James chapter 1, verse 5 down to verse 7. James chapter 1, verse 5 down to verse 7. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Our trust needs to be in God. We can be able to depend on God. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. We need to depend on Him. We need to put our rest and our cares upon Him as well. Prayer is a sign of worship. Again, going along with our thought that we've talked about a little bit this morning, it is an act of worship. We mentioned 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, but I want to draw your attention over to verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, where it says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is an act of worship. It is part of doing God's will. The inner man is pouring out his heart to God. As we read in John 4, verse 24, that God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Prayer is also a sign of faith. Again, we need confidence in our prayers, knowing that if we ask anything according to God's will, He does hear us in 1 John 5 and verse 14. We put our faith in God, trusting in God that He will provide. Over in Hebrews, to turn there to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, let's consider verse 6 together. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Talk about our building relationship of trust, where we put our faith, our trust in God. We use prayer We have that building relationship of trust in prayer. Then we also think about how there is a sign of need when we talk about prayer. God cares for us. As we read over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, that we have a caring, compassionate God who is looking out for us, who wants us to come to Him. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. God is compassionate. He does not want us to perish. He wants us to come to Him. And the question is how? How do we come to Him? Again, we point out it is through prayer. Think about this last one this morning and how prayer is a sign of communication. And I want to look over in Hebrews again, this time in chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, let's consider verse 15 first, and then we'll look at verse 16 in a moment. We go to God in prayer. As we think about this, it's Christ who is making intercession for us. We take our, or we go to God in prayer. Well, Christ is bridging that. He is that middleman. He is taking our prayers to God. In verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 4, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but is in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We have a high priest. Looking at that first part, we have a high priest. The purpose of the priest was to be able to make those sacrifices, those petitions to God. But now we have a high priest that is through Jesus Christ who is taking our petitions. Look at it, verse 16 with me now. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can be able to come to God. We can be able to pour our hearts out to Him with confidence and communicating with God, knowing that He will help. Knowing that He is hearing our prayer. Knowing that He is compassionate and looking out for us. Wants us to care for. Wants us to cast our care upon. Because He cares for us. He cares for each one of us this morning. And He wants us to come to Him and utilize prayer. Prayer is a sign of worship. We can be able to use prayer in many facets. In many different types of opportunities in our life. And what I'd like to do as we're coming to a close, for we offer the invitation, I'd like to be able to go to God in prayer. If you'll bow your heads with me, kind of going along with this morning. Let's go to God in prayer at this time. Almighty and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank You for another day of life that You have allowed us to be able to come together to worship You this morning. To open Your Word, Father, we thank You for this opportunity. And I hope and pray that as we have looked at this lesson this morning, that we are being able to see the benefits of prayer, to see the true working of prayer, and to be able to utilize it in our life. Help us to be able to be stronger Christians as we continue to do our best to obey Your will. Help us when we may be struggling during different obstacles in our life. Help us to draw closer to You as we offer blessings back to You also. Help us to be able to do Your work throughout this community, Father, and that we might be able to be that bright and shining light, that more souls will be drawn to You. Help us to be able to use this powerful tool of prayer during all types of opportunities in our life, that we might be able to always draw closer to You and work together towards that hope of heaven's life is over. It's in Christ's name we offer this prayer. Amen. So as we look at this morning, I hope as we consider prayer that we can see the benefits of it, that we can see that it helps us in our life. We have one more lesson that we will look at next week and talk about prayer and faith. But this morning as we look at this lesson on worship and prayer, I hope that we can see how it is useful, how it's beneficial, and we can see by example that it is necessary in our life. The invitation is open for those who may need to make their life right with God. Maybe you've been asking for prayers. Maybe you've been asking for help. If you have not yet obeyed Jesus Christ and God the Father this morning, we'll be glad to assist you. We'll be glad to help you in your desire, in your efforts to make your life right with God by having your sins washed in the waters of baptism. If you believe in Jesus Christ, your Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, recognizing what sin does to you, and you're ready to confess your belief, you can have your sins washed in the waters of baptism this morning. And if you remain faithful, you can have that hope of heaven. Maybe this morning, again, you are a child of God, but have given in to temptation. You've committed sin in your life, and you're ready to make your life right with God. As we've talked about in this series of lessons, prayer. Prayer is an important and useful tool in that process. Maybe this morning you realize that you're living in sin. You need to return to the fold of God. You need to have your soul restored. And you're ready to do so this morning. You're ready to repent of your sins. We'll be glad to offer those prayers of forgiveness on your behalf. Or maybe this morning you just need prayers of encouragement. We'll be glad to pray for you and offer those prayers of encouragement, stirring up that love and good works in each other. Brother Chuck has selected song number 332, I Surrender All. We need to be able to surrender our all to God. And we can be able to go to God in prayer, utilizing these different opportunities to be able to go to Him, to surrender all, and to obey Him. If there's anyone that is subject to the invitation, we may need to make their life right with Him. You can have a seat on the front. You can let me know how we can assist you. And if you do it now, we'll together while we stand and while we sing.